Welcome to CWC Dive Deep, where we take a deeper look into this past Sunday's message, discussing how we can actively pursue God and grow in our faith. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, the Spiritual Formation Director at CWC with Pastor Arlie Davis. Welcome, Pastor Arlie.
Thank you, Caleb. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you. And this past Sunday, you focused a lot on temptation as we continued in our series, Growing 101.
Mm-hmm.
What this week really spoke to you, or what kind of caught your attention as you were preparing for this message?
I don't know. I suppose it's one of those particular types of messages that I especially feel like I can be very clear and very helpful to people. And so, you know, there's a lot of messages where you feel much more maybe passionate, I suppose, about the importance. And even as I prepared this one, I just felt like, wow, you know, if we didn't have our kind of our schedule set up, or if I had another teaching time that could be built into this, which that's what this is, then I could talk even more about some of the struggles that are a part of all of this and understanding temptation in a much clearer capacity. I guess I feel that this particular topic, no matter what your age or stage is in life, it's something we always will battle. And I guess as I looked at the passage, probably the word endure stuck out to me more than it really ever had before. And, you know, when he says that, you know, as far as what temptation will come, and God is faithful, but he's going to provide a way out that you may endure. Like, it's a reminder when it says endure, that's like in long lasting. That's like not something that just goes away. Everybody feels it, temptation. Boy, if I battle this one, if I get control over this, I won't ever have a problem again. No, you will. It's always going to be a problem. Now, it may not be as difficult if you learn to control your thoughts, but you will always have those temptations. And there's another way. If this one isn't it, then another one will come at you. I said this, I think, only in one service, but I spoke at Brooksville. It's a retirement village. And, you know, probably 300, 400, 500 people. Like, it's a great group of people that came to the services. And before I went there, I've done it like, I don't know, 3-4 times. But before I went there, I was really curious. I said, like, what do I have to offer these people? A lot of them are retired denominational officials and retired people who worked at the colleges and missionaries. And like, these are heavy duty people who know the word. And like, I'm almost a little intimidated by what I'm going to share. And I said, well, like, what would I be able to offer? And the person that was there who was responsible for the village said, let me tell you this much. Many of these people struggle with doubt. And I said, wow, at this stage of life, you would think like, I've fought the good fight, you know, I'm ready to go.
Right, I'm past that.
Yeah, but they struggle with doubt. And so what I think it is I think at every age and stage, the enemy has new ammunition. I think he hits us in about the same kinds of areas, but I think it's new ammunition to grab us and make us kind of feel different things at different levels that would tempt us. And whether it's tempting us to doubt or distraction or denial, I just think all those kinds of things are all part of it. So I guess as I was preparing and thinking about it, I think that probably stood out in my mind more.
Yeah. And there's also, there's no height you can go to in your walk with Christ that would exclude you from temptation. I mean, look at Jesus. He was the pinnacle. And he was tempted.
Yeah, I was just trying to think about that when you were saying, formulating that before you even got to the conclusion of where you were. I was thinking, I wonder how much went through Jesus' thoughts that was really tempting. Now, it couldn't be called tempting if there wasn't some inclination to go there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because like, otherwise, he would have just laughed at it.
Right.
But he didn't laugh at the statement that was made or the question, or
I mean,
he genuinely responded, which means there must, in his humanity, and it's hard to think of Jesus as human, but in his humanity, there must have been something that would have drawn him into, otherwise it couldn't be called temptation.
Right.
So it's just, it's like an interesting thought to ponder, I suppose.
Yeah. And I mean, you think about it, he was tempted with what, food? He fasted for 40 days. That's something we can all relate to. I mean, to be hungry and to want to eat to satisfy that desire of your body. I mean, a natural good desire, eat. Yes, good. But to do it in a wrong way.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it's just interesting because that is so relatable. There's no culture that you can go to where you can't relate to hunger.
And like I said, there must have been some inclination to give in to those temptations, or otherwise they couldn't be called temptations. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're called scripturally, you know. So it said he was tempted in all ways as we are, mm-hmm. and yet was without sin. Mm-hmm. So he never gave in, thank God for us.
Right. Which just reinforces that process that you walked us through, that, you know, I see, I think, I, you know, and then moving through that mm-hmm. to the want and then acting and
exactly.
It's, you know, again, just saying, look, there's a process that happens here and a point where it goes from just being a natural thing that occurs to, now you've moved into want and now we've got sin. So there's a stage and movement in there, but I want to go back. Here's a thought. You were talking about, is it Brooksville?
Mm-hmm.
Brooksville. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And just these individuals that we might consider spiritual giants of their age that are still fighting this battle.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of Orange Scott, who in our Wesleyan history, you know, was a very instrumental individual in founding the future Wesleyan Church.
Yep.
He battled depression for most of his life.
He was a great advocate for the abolition of slavery.
Absolutely.
He was huge.
Just an incredible man.
Yes. Yes.
But he battled depression almost his entire life, which is lesser known.
Right.
And I think there's maybe a perception amongst Christian circles that there are some temptations which we just shouldn't talk about at all, shouldn't be a part of a Christian's life, and are almost taboo. And it's almost, I think people suffer because they feel like they can't go to other people.
I give you just a real simple one that I just think is kind of crazy, but I remember we were kind of someplace where we were looking over a cliff and it was a like huge drop that was right there before us. And I looked at it for a few minutes and then I backed away and I said, you know, I get this funny voice in my head that says, go ahead and jump whenever I'm at that. And I've never voiced that before, but I've heard it like many times. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, there were like several other people there said, oh, that happens to me too. And like none of us had ever talked about it. Mm. And I suddenly realized like it's kind of common, like other people have it. Yeah. But it was something I never spoke of. And so I thought I was the only person who had that. Mm. And then when I voiced it, it was like, really? You think that too? And they were like, yeah, that comes to me whenever I'm in those settings. Mm. So I just think that's a classic kind of understanding that so many times, like if we've been tempted to suicide, mm-hmm. like we are just fearful of ever voicing that. Mm. But the reality is probably many of us have gone through times in our lives where we just felt like, oh, I can't go on, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe, I mean, and then your brain goes someplace else.
Right.
And I guess finding someone who's safe is very challenging for all of us. Mm-hmm. For us to be able to talk about like temptation, like maybe in more clear, concrete terms of what it is, not just in general, but more specific, mm-hmm. I think is probably very dangerous and very difficult. And I think we have to be at a point where we feel completely safe with a person, or otherwise, mm-hmm. I do think it's difficult because sometimes people use things against us.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, like here you just thought in confidence you were sharing with someone and then pretty soon they're using it against you and throwing it back in your face or whatever. And so I think we have to be careful. I think there's a caution, big caution that goes out there, but I do think it's important that we do be able to talk, that we struggle,
right,
and that temptations come to us, even if sometimes we're not as comfortable being exactly specific.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there's a great importance of helping to talk about those things.
Yeah, and just to name a few so that people feel like, oh, I'm not strange, or there's not something wrong with me. What are a few that you've heard in discussions in past that maybe you just want to voice here so people can hear, I'm not alone with this, other people face this?
Well, I guess, you know, there's lots of things that you could kind of be specific with. You mm-hmm. know, we talk about our attractions mm-hmm. and what we're attracted to, or pride, mm-hmm. or the areas that could be very jealousy, very dangerous for mm-hmm. us. Maybe those are kind of considered sometimes lesser.
Right.
But I think that just being human, like, we all have these and mm-hmm. we all struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just how we deal with them. I mean, there are some people who seem like they seem so wonderful, you think they probably never struggle.
I think we can all identify a few of those people and
yeah.
say, no, they don't have any faults.
They're so nice. I don't think they really ever struggle.
Right.
I doubt anybody says that about me. But anyway, but I do think that there's sometimes we look at people and we just think, oh, they're like, they're like perfect. They probably don't have any, but them, they have it too.
Yeah.
They have those inner struggles and those things they battle. And so I just think it's really important that we would pray together for one another and realize that.
Mm-hmm. So as you're thinking through how to, and you talked a lot about changing your mind,
mm-hmm.
absolutely, change your mind.
Yeah.
That process of look, see, think, and then want and sin. How do we interrupt that think and want in the moment?
Sure.
So that we can then start changing our minds? Because I think that kind of happens
wow.
over repetition. But what, any strategies or thoughts for interrupting yeah. that moment between think and want?
Do you know what? It all, I love how God designed us in our minds and how incredibly complex and yet how multifaceted it is, and that we can think about so many things at the same time. You know, like while I'm preaching, I'm thinking, why isn't this remote going like it's supposed to? I'm also thinking about that lady who just walked out. Was she angry when she walked out, or did she just have to go answer or something? I saw someone else move over here and somebody's yawning. Are they really like not enjoying this? I mean, so all that's going through my mind all at one time while my mouth is still speaking and talking about something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, we're amazing at how God has designed us. And I don't accredit that to any like brilliance. I just think it's the complexity of who we all are. And so when I think about that, you know, I think about how do we control those thoughts? Because so many of them are uncontrollable. They
right.
just happen. And so when does it really happen that I take hold of this and control it so it doesn't just go anywhere? And most of us are used to letting our minds just go anywhere they want.
Yeah.
So like to really control our thoughts, huge, very huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just think about fear or anger or jealousy or attitudes that kind of slip in really quickly. You think how subtly they come in, but we can control those thoughts. We can get a hold on those, and we need to. So we need to kind of back up to the point where we're still controlling it. It's not controlling us. And so, you know, that's the whole part in that process when we interrupt that. And it doesn't have to be real complex, but it has to be changing the way you think. So I have to have a go-to thought in my mind. Now, if I'm not prepared with a go-to thought, I become overwhelmed even more so.
Okay, I want to highlight that. Be prepared with a go-to thought.
Yeah.
There's premeditation here of, I know I'm going to get hit with this, so I have something ready to go.
Absolutely.
Okay, keep going.
And so if I'm not, then I'm going to find myself struggling. And I've talked about it multiple times again this morning with our team. The way that your tracks that your brain runs in, like they now scientifically by an MRI can be able to see how the brain thinks and where your brain thoughts pattern, what the patterns that they go to. So thinking about that, it runs a track because you consistently think the same things. We follow patterns much more than we're aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And so you consistently go to the same conclusions. So to for us to be able to put a new track down.
Mm-hmm. So to interrupt that process between think and want.
Yes, that's what we have to do. And it's the hardest thing to do when we first start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But the more we do it, the more natural it comes. And then we dig in a new track in our brain. And then we will come to that. And then the choice will be easier. I think we'll always have the choice.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be now easier because there's two ways that the brain can go. And it can go into a right pattern or a wrong pattern. And I think that that's the good news of how God uses scripture to say, I already knew the science, but I'm trying to make it easy for you guys to understand. Here it is. Change the way you think,
mm-hmm.
and then you can have victory.
So there it is. And, you know, I like that you said, don't make it complicated. That scripture that says, flee from all sexual immorality.
Yeah.
Literally, get up, run away.
Hello. Yes.
Make it easy on yourself.
Make it happen. Yes.
And then you add humor to the situation and it's okay.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
But so there's a, I think your challenge for the week, we just heard it. Make a plan mm-hmm. of a thought to replace that thought process.
Have with. A go-to thought.
Have a go-to thought.
Yes.
So thanks for joining us today on CWC Dive Deep. Pastor Arley, thank you for your time.
Grateful to be here.
And I hope you are challenged and encouraged to grow in your faith today. Join us next Monday as we continue to discuss Growing 101. And to get the most out of this series, be sure to check out the resources on cwc.life to access sermon notes, weekly study material, and more great messages to dive into. Have a great week.